Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. Today we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, the third Sunday of Easter. I want you to notice that. It's not the third Sunday after Easter, it's of Easter. We celebrate for 50 days up till Pentecost. Where is the resurrected power of Jesus Christ evident in your life? Where have you opened yourself? You repent of sin. You open yourself to receive the grace that God wants to pour out on you. He always wants to share his life with you. Have you received that life? Is your hope increased? Has your faith increased? This is what should be happening during this Easter season. And all we have to do is ask him. All we have to do is repent for the things that keep us back from believing and trusting and loving. Repent for them. Open yourself to the power and the grace of this season. God wants to give you so much. And we see it today. We see it for this Sunday's Gospel, John 21, verses 1 to 19. When Jesus appears to Peter after the resurrection. But first, let's take a look. I'll go in order. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 5, verses 27 to 32, and then verses 40 and 41. Let's take a look at that first reading. When the captain and the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them. We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? This again, brothers and sisters, we've heard this particular scripture a number of times this week, different sections of it. But this scripture we've heard, and now we hear it again, because this is so important for us to see. Give up indifference, be willing to follow the Lord, be willing to suffer for his name, and God will be with you. That message is being given to us over and over again this week. Take it in. We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles said in reply, we must obey God rather than men. Do you live by that criteria? We need to, if we're genuinely Christians, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. Notice Peter's boldness. You had him killed. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. The Sanhedrin ordered the apostles to stop speaking in the name of Jesus and dismiss them. At the moment, they're helpless. They don't know how to penalize them. They don't know what to do, so they warn them, don't you dare speak in this name. Of course, they're not going to heed that. They can't. They have to heed God before men. So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. When you're mocked or ridiculed for being a Christian, do you rejoice? You should. I don't mean throw it back in their face, but quietly, Lord, thank you that I can walk with you. Thank you that I can be more evidently your disciple. Or do we lash out? Don't do that. Don't do that. Ask God first what he wants you to say or do. But the first thing, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to suffer dishonor for the sake of your name. Get yourself in the right disposition. Then you can hear the Lord and he'll help you to know what to say. You might say it strongly. There might be just anger, but you want to hear the Lord first before you step out. Psalm 30, I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. It's one of the things that I don't think we believe enough. Have pity on me, O Lord, be my helper. You changed my mourning into dancing. He will do that, you know. We mourn for our sins. We mourn for past mistakes. He will change our mourning into dancing. He will make disciples out of us. We will know when to be angry and when not. We will know when to speak up and be silent. We will learn because he will be more and more with us if we invite him to be. And if we give him time to speak to us. The book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. I, John, looked and heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They were countless in number, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe, cry out to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor, glory and might forever and ever. The four living creatures answered, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. What the church is giving us, brothers and sisters, is a reading here that shows us the heavenly reality. That while we're down here struggling in the trenches, so to speak, with our eyes fixed on that heaven, with our eyes fixed on God, seeking to be his disciples, while we're trying to do that, there is a whole world, brothers and sisters, of worship and praise going on before the throne. And our decisions on this earth, our decisions in the middle of struggle, in the middle of anger, our decisions to do what the Lord wants us to do, to trust him, to repent when we're wrong, they rise like incense before the throne of God. Your actions, your thoughts, your words right now on this earth, if you do them seeking God's help and God's direction and not just giving in to your own sin, but they rise like sweet-smelling incense. They are acts of praise and worship. And they are joined to the praise and worship going on around the throne of God forever and ever and ever, 24/7 in our time frame. There's no word, there's no action, there's no anything that you do that does not either offer worship to God or offer dishonor to God. What we want are our thoughts, our words, and our actions to glorify him. So keep that. We need to have that vision of the heavenly reality while we're living the earth. Don't just go by the information of your senses. Go by what faith tells you. Join yourself to the angels and saints when you're walking into a meeting. Lord, let my words, my thoughts, my actions glorify you. May they rise like sweet-smelling incense before your throne. God will give you the grace if you put yourself in that posture. There's a whole world, brothers and sisters, that we don't live in, that we don't think about, that we don't pay attention to. And we need to. It's where we're going to live forever. And it's going on right now. The worship and the glory and the adoration. And even from earth, we can join ourselves with the angels and saints so that everything comes to glorify him. The gospel, chapter 21, there's 19 verses here. It's a long gospel, but what a wonderful one it is. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, another revelation, another manifestation of God after the resurrection. He revealed himself in this way. There was Simon Peter and Thomas and Nathanael and Zebedee and other disciples. And Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. You know, when you've had a momentous thing happen and you're still kind of scratching your head and you're not quite sure of anything. I mean, you feel, you know the term we use today, discombobulated. I'm sure Peter felt that way. So what do? You go back to what's familiar. I'm going fishing. He was a fisherman. He was trying to get his thoughts sorted out. And they said to him, well, we'll come with you. And so they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, Have you caught anything to eat? And they answered him, No. So he said to them, Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you'll find something. So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved, that was John, said to Peter, It's the Lord. John's the first one to recognize him. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and he jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus is cooking breakfast for them. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish you just caught. So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Another miracle. And Jesus said to them, Come, have breakfast. He knows they're confused and somewhat still bewildered and uncertain and thinking back on things they did or said that were wrong. They're discombobulated. I don't know what else to say. And Jesus just says to them, come, have breakfast. And none of the disciples dared to ask him, Who are you? They still can't quite believe. But then they realized it was the Lord. And Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner, the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Now here's the, Jesus has come for a number of reasons, but one particular reason, to give Peter the chance to erase his infidelity, to erase his denial of Christ, not to have to labor under that. Look at the beauty of this. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Peter answered him, Yes, Lord. Jesus said to him, Feed my lambs. And he said to Peter a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon Peter answered him, Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. You can imagine this must have been coming out choking and crying. And Jesus said to him, Tend my sheep. He's giving him responsibility. And Jesus said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. What Jesus asked him was three times, Do you love me? In order to erase the three times of denial. He erased it. And what did he do? He gave Peter more and more and more responsibility. Feed my sheep, tend my sheep, lead my sheep. It's not our sin, brothers and sisters, that are the obstacles. It's our unwillingness to ask for forgiveness. God will immediately forgive. And he does it because he loves us. And he does it because he wants to bring us into an even deeper relationship with him. When we've sinned greatly, we know how weak we are. And that gives us the opportunity to depend even more on the Lord. And those are the people he can use. Never let sin hold you back. God loves you and wants to forgive you and restore you and use you for the building of his kingdom. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.